Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God. But first, here's his message, Fool's Gold.
Luke chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, turning back to the crowd, he said to them, "Take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And so he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." There's the big idea of the little story. Being rich towards God. As this man raised the question regarding his physical or material possessions, Jesus used it as an opportunity to teach us all this truth. That life does not consist in the abundance of things. Being wealthy, that your net worth is not your real worth. It's not what you make, but how you live that matters. And Jesus teaches us this truth. The money monster is a problem for all of us. Addiction to money is like any other kind of addiction. It devours its own. The beast of materialism is never satisfied. And that's why Jesus said here in this passage, beware or be on guard against covetousness / greed. I want to ask you the question that Jesus is asking this man. And that is, are you a greedy person? Are you covetous in any way? And Jesus exposes a huge lie. Verse 15, the last part of it of chapter 12, says, "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." The lie that he is exposing is that life is about what you make and what you take. That life, fulfillment in life, abundance in life, has to do with our material possessions. If I just had more of this. What is covetousness? It is the desire to acquire more than is reasonable. It is an exorbitant, exuberant, excessive desire for money, for things, for possessions. That's covetousness. Jesus exposes this truth that life is not about the money. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said in Galatians 2:20, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Life is Christ for the Christian. He is the consuming, controlling possession of our lives. He is our magnificent obsession. Not the lunacy of chasing the dollar or even living on a dime, but whether you have or you have not, that your passion, your purpose, your priority is to seek God, to know Him, to love Him, and to make Him known. Life does not consist in the abundance of things. So let's apply this story, because as we're talking here this morning, we need to be on guard against greed. We need to be aware of this creeping covetousness in our own lives. So how can we know if we're running out of bounds of the will of God? How can we know if greed is becoming our God? The Bible speaks of idols of the heart. And these golden idols of the heart need to be toppled. So here's some warning signs right out of this little story, life story that Jesus gives. The warning sign number one is selfishness. Selfishness. Now that's clear, isn't it, in this story? Notice at the outset of this parable what this man is thinking about most. Underscore in your Bible, or maybe circle in your Bible there, how many times he uses the word I or my. I, my. He uses the word I 6 times, 5 times the word my, in just 4 verses. In this passage of Scripture, of the 54 words in this passage of Scripture, 18 are in the first person. This man is in love with a perpendicular pronoun. I. Now notice that he is never criticized by Christ for the fact that he made money or had great wealth. As a matter of fact, the opposite is true. If you look at verse 16 in this passage, the story, Jesus said, the land of the rich man produced plentifully. Every indication here is that God blessed this man's land and prospered him, blessed him. And so Jesus is not suggesting that it is wrong to get wealth. In fact, the Bible says he gives the power to get wealth. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. Doesn't the Scripture say that money is the root of all evil? No, it does not say that. What the Bible does say is the love of money is a root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:9 says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires, and plunge people into ruin and destruction. Proverbs 23:4 says, do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. In other words, be wise enough to know when enough is enough. While it is not wrong to want wealth to be successful, if God chooses to give you wealth, it is wrong to pour your life out for money, to have wealth. The reason that this man is so pathetic is that he was thankless. Not one word here of thank you, God, for blessing my life. Thank you, Jesus, for this bumper crop. Praise you, God, for everything that you have given me. Imagine being blessed of God, breathing God's air, and living under God's sun, and experiencing the love of God's presence, and yet live for self as if God does not exist. That's what is wrong with this man, and that's what's wrong with us when we start chasing covetousness and money. The land produced. Why? Because God chose to bless it. And let me tell you something. If God gives you wealth, it's not because you're so skillful, not because you're so smart, not because you're better than others. If God blesses you, it is because He has chosen to bless you. And you ought to get on your knees and thank God for His blessing.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Fool's Gold. June 30th is PowerPoint's financial year end, and we need your help. A generous friend has offered to match every gift given to PowerPoint this month. So any gift you give to PowerPoint will be doubled, allowing us to keep the hope of Jesus Christ coming your way and going out to millions more all over the world. And when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Stay with us. PowerPoint with Jack Graham will return right after this short station break.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Fool's Gold.
But there's a second warning signal, and that is what we'll just simply call stinginess. This man was a miser, and at the root of the word miserable is the word miser. We have two kinds of people. One are the takers, and so many people live their lives just taking. But there's another form of greed, and that's what this man had as well as taking. He was keeping. And when I start taking and when I start keeping things, he didn't give anything away. He wasn't interested in helping his neighbors. He wasn't looking around him for needs that someone else might have. He's just thinking, I've got all this stuff. I've got crops that I can't contain, grain that I can't consume. So what do I need to do? He didn't consider anybody else. He just said, I know what I'll do. I'll build a bigger barn. I'll tear down my old barns and build bigger barns and more barns so that I can just hoard all this stuff. I can keep all this stuff. The keepers, keep. The problem in life is not between the haves and the have-nots, but the haves and the give-nots. And this man had it, and he was determined to keep it. He thought his blessing was strictly for his benefit. I don't have any place to store my crops. Again, it's not what he had. It was his attitude about what he had. It's the stinginess that is involved here. And then there's the warning signal of, I'm just going to say it, sinfulness. Because what did he say? You know, he moves from selfishness and stinginess to sinfulness, because he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to retire and live the good life. I'm not going to work and invest anymore. I'm not going to give myself to my calling. I'm going to relax, get me a hammock in the shade, get me a nice drink, chase women, eat, drink, and be merry. He decides to live for himself and selfish pleasure and self-indulgence. This is hedonism in its most riveting form. And so often when the Bible says the love of money is a root of all evil, that's what it's talking about, because his love for money led to a sense of entitlement to live his life out of bounds of the will of God. He had money, he could spend it, on whatever he wanted. And so he's got it all. He thinks he's got it made in the shade. By the way, did you know that this is the only time that I can find in the Bible where it talks about retirement? And it's not really in a good light, is it? Again, not saying you shouldn't retire from your job. You know, they may retire you, okay? But you should never retire from life and making a difference in the kingdom of God. And some of you who are retired from your businesses and your work, your life's work, you have a great opportunity and a great obligation to continue to serve Christ and to give back. I mean, is it your goal in life? Is it your goal in life really? Is it really your goal in life to spend your entire life working and then buy you a condo in Florida and die down there in the sand playing golf? Is that what you think it's about? Of course not. But the love of money, the love of things, the love of possessions will put you out of the game spiritually. And then, not only sinfulness, but short-sightedness. And here's the kicker. While this man was planning his future, death was knocking at the door. You know, he's laid up thinking about dollar signs. It's the middle of the night. And about that time he hears, "Who is it? Who is it, I say?" "Death. Go away, death." And then death kicks the door down. And this man steps into eternity. You see, he was short-sighted. And that's what greed will do to any man, to any woman. That's what covetousness will do. It puts all the focus on here and now, rather than the fact that we will be in eternity. No wonder God said, "Fool," which really means mindless living. And beyond that, it means godless living. For Psalm 14 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Mindless, godless living. Living without God, not living in the fear of God. As if there were no tomorrow. And God says, "Your time is up." There's no thought of eternity in this man. James, the half-brother of our Lord, wrote in James 4, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? What is your life? For you are but a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Why was this man a fool? Because he lived his life without God. Because he lived his life not considering the future. Because he lived his life for himself and for his sin and for his pleasure and for his possessions. With no cost, with no thought of consequences. And God said, "You're a fool." The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, "For we brought nothing into this world and we cannot take anything out of this world." Have you ever seen a hearse with a U-Haul trailer on the back? No. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the wise king, said, "As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand." He was short-sighted. He had a He had a human, earthbound, horizontal way of living his life, and it eventually catches up with everyone. Because the last I heard, there is a foolproof statistic on death, and that is one out of one die. And if you live your life for yourself, no matter what you have or what you don't have, and die without Christ, die without a purpose and a plan of God, you will die as a fool. So the question is, how do I keep from dying like a fool? Well, Jesus tells us, look in verse 21. He says, don't treasure for yourself, but be rich towards God. How can I be rich towards God? Think about that. That's your takeaway. How can I be rich towards God? Jesus said, wise up. Live for me. Live for the things that matter. Your purpose in life, if you want to be happy, everybody wants to be happy. If you want to be fulfilled, if you want to be happy, then be rich towards God. How can I be rich towards God? By seeking God, by worshiping God, by honoring God with all that you have, glorifying God, magnifying Christ, making Him your magnificent obsession in life, offering your life to God, your abilities, your skill set, your gifts, your talents, your money, your things, your possessions. It's giving away. Again, it's not what you make that matters the most. It's how you live and what you give that matters the most. If you want to be rich towards God, live as though every day or any day, including this one, could be your last. Be rich towards God. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and though He was rich, He had everything. The King of the universe, the Creator of the cosmos, though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that by His poverty you might become rich. Rich in salvation, rich in forgiveness, rich in love, rich in spiritual blessings. When I seek to worship Him, serve Him, and give away my life and sacrifice what I can to serve Him, then I'm rich towards God. He said in verse 21, don't lay up treasures in heaven, but lay up treasures that are lasting. You want to know how wealthy you are? You want to know what you're worth? Here's how you can know. You add up everything you have that money can't buy and death can't take away.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, Fool's Gold. PowerPoint is coming up on the end of our financial year, and we've got some exciting news to share with you today. Some friends have stepped forward with a $180,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give this month to help PowerPoint finish this financial year strong. With more people than ever searching for what only Jesus can provide, your gift today is nothing short of vital to help ensure PowerPoint remains a beacon of hope in the year ahead. And we'll say thanks for your gift today by sending you Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God, for you or someone you know. So call now to have your financial year-end gift doubled and request your copy of A Man of God as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Of all the stories that Jesus told, this has been one of the most powerful and thought-provoking, hasn't it? About this rich man who had so much and yet he lost everything. This message has to do, obviously, with eternity and our need to know and follow Jesus Christ right now. never to depend upon money or possessions or things, but rather to trust in Christ and Christ alone, who died on the cross for our sins, who rose again on the third day, that we could have eternal life. If you are already a follower of Jesus, this should really affect our attitudes, shouldn't it, about money, the way we look at our money. We shouldn't love money or live for money. We are to live for Jesus and love Jesus and use what God gives us to advance His message, not hoarding up stuff for ourselves and simply living in luxury for ourselves, but rather to use what God has given us for His glory. So our goal in life shouldn't, for example, be just to make enough money so we can retire early and go to a condo on a beach somewhere and play golf every day. No, our goal in life should always be to use what God has given us to reinvest in the kingdom of God. And let me just say, if God has blessed you financially, if you have been blessed with wealth, you have a responsibility to reinvest that wealth back in the kingdom of God, to invest in the work of Christ, in your church, and through ministries like PowerPoint that advance the gospel. If you've been living for other priorities, if you've been living for self, if you've been living in sin, selfish sin, then turn from that today and trust in Christ and Christ alone as your Savior and Lord. In fact, right now, right where you are, why don't you pray this prayer? Lord Jesus, I know that I have sinned and broken your commandments. I've lived for self and stuff and sin too long. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you rose again on the third day. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I turn from my sin and trust in you. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Invite Christ into your life. Receive him today and begin to live for him rather than yourself. God bless you. And I look forward to joining you again the next time on PowerPoint.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Today, if you prayed that prayer with Dr. Graham and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'd love to hear from you so we can help you begin your new life with Christ. Please call us at 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how you can live with expectancy for Christ's return. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.